You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Another week of good content. Welcome to the Momentum Advisor Show.
I feel like we need special intro music.
Well,
the hand gestures and the like the conductor.
Well, before we get started, I do have a special, special announcement to make.
Okay.
Andrea Gray was promoted to partner at Momentum Advisors this past week.
I live for the applause. You don't know that one.
Yo. So this is a big deal.
Ain't official yet, bro.
This is a big deal. Dre joined us almost 5 years ago and has been crushing it as an advisor, as a leader, as a podcast host, as so many things. And so we want you in our leadership. And so we have promoted my partner.
There we go.
To partner.
It's all good. Doesn't feel real. You know how I am, right? Nothing is real until it's final, right?
Yeah.
And I know it's coming. We're doing this.
Yes.
We are doing this. But like, even with like a new client says yes, yeah. I don't celebrate until the money's in the account.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
It's all good. But yeah. Thank you for announcing it. I thought we were holding on to that for a little bit. Mm-mm. But
you've been presented to the team and now the world.
So I can tell people.
Yeah, absolutely.
it's like being pregnant. It's like, yeah, I don't want to tell anybody until we're in.
You're almost in your third trimester of being a partner.
It's all good.
Yeah, but congratulations.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
About what we're going to do together.
Yeah, we just had our company retreat.
Mm-hmm. I'm still tired. That was a time.
Yeah.
But it's the whole commuting in the city is cold. It's holiday time, so traffic and
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you over your tiny violin. I couldn't hear you.
No. You set yourself up for that. The tiny violin.
Yeah.
Single parent for a day, or was that last week?
That was last week. A while, and
but we talked about it last week.
I'm now in my softcore era because my wife is back home, sharing the load, and one day last week, I was like, can you believe I had to cook, clean, do the laundry, and work a full day?
Mrs. Boomer was away at that point less than 24 hours.
And no,
this
it was
dude
a whole
was
week.
Like,
it was a whole week.
I'm talking about the point you were like, I'm like a single parent for a week.
Nope,
and we're like, it's been less than 24. Yeah, a single mom.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know my struggle. Every comment into it. Y'all don't know my struggle.
Yeah.
It's like, man, please.
Now I'm back to my soft girl era.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm glad this way better.
Worked out.
I like this way better. So at our retreat, our company retreat, we step away from the office. We bring in experts and we just do planning and we review where we've been and we take a look at where we're going. And we did a session on Atomic Habits. And for those of you who are not familiar with the book, this book is written by a gentleman named James Clear, and it's been on all the bestseller lists. And this is a book that's just about getting a little bit better every day. And in our firm retreat, we talked about getting a little bit better every day as financial advisors. But it makes us think about this concept of wealth building in the same way. What if we can every day get a little bit better, take little baby steps, atomic size steps towards building more wealth? And in addition to me reading this book, which I'm actually still reading, by the way, but the book is so good, we can talk about it before the book is complete.
Man, I wish we had video, but it's all good.
So people can see the shade that you're showing me right now on your face.
How far in the book did you get? No, you don't have to.
We're not going to talk about
we're
all
not
that.
We're not going to talk about that. You got the summary.
Sufficient
you got the
for
gist
a podcast. Okay.
Sufficient for a podcast and sufficient for the session at the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
And there were two things. One is reading the book, but one is I did a call with a client recently, and this client started with our firm at the end of 2017. They had $300,000. They had a bunch of credit card debt. They had two kids to put through college. And we did a review this week, and they have $930-something thousand.
Mm-hmm.
So in a few years—
almost millionaires.
They've tripled their investment balance. They've become millionaires from a net worth perspective because that's just their investment account. They have home equity that pushes them into the millionaire bucket. And they were thanking me profusely, like, Alan, you did such a good job. I'm like, look, keep it a buck. Y'all did the work. Like, y'all, what did y'all do? You maxed out your 401ks. You paid off your credit cards. You added to your investment accounts. You were consistent. You got a little bit better every year, and you were able to turn 300 into 900 in a matter of, you know, less than 10 years. Like,
right. And if you think about it, this is a great piggyback to our topic the week before, because some people are looking to get rich quick.
Yeah.
They're looking for, they want to follow that TikTok or Instagram quick and easy advice. And it's like, but you haven't laid the foundation, done the foundational things. And really, it's those small, simple, not so sexy foundational things that really can get you there.
And keep it a buck, Dre. You've got clients that you've been working with since 2018 who probably went the opposite way. They started with 900, now they're down to 300. I don't have any clients like that. No, I've got some.
I'm just messing with you.
I definitely have some that started with seven figures and they're down to four in the same time frame.
Yeah.
So it's not that we are magic or anything like, I mean, we are magic, but you know,
magical.
We are taking advantage of compounding. We're taking advantage of good habits. And so today we're going to talk about how we can build wealth using this framework of atomic habits. So let's go through a couple of key concepts of the book, and then we'll dive into our stats and some lessons from the book as well. So first is the concept of an atom. An atom is small, it's microscopic, and it really is the building block for all of humanity and everything that we see in the world. Now, think about how much power is inside of an atom. Think the atom bomb, atomic energy, right? Small units can be very, very powerful. Small things we do can be very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
And next is habits. Habits are like things that we do regularly and automatically without thinking. Like imagine you walk into a room, it's dark, you instinctively turn the light on.
Every time. Or in my case, I walk out of a room, I'm turning the lights off.
Okay. Because we were raised by like this depression era mentality from our parents.
Gonna make my bill too high.
I still pick up, if I see change on the ground, it could be a penny. I could be in the bathroom and there's a penny on the ground.
No, not
okay, maybe not a penny. A quarter in the bathroom, as long as it's not underneath the urinal, I'm still picking it up. Dre's like, no, I can't do it.
Not doing it. In the bathroom?
My parents, like one of their—
I go through a whole mental analysis. Where am I?
Yeah.
How many hands has it touched? What's the likelihood of there being passable germs?
There you go.
It's whole thing.
You've got an automatic response of not picking up the change underneath the urinal.
I've got an automatic response to analyze.
Okay. But it's a habit.
Yes.
So the concept of this book is that, and I love this example. There's so many examples in this book, but one of these examples is imagine there's a big block of ice in the room that you're in right now. And your goal is to get the ice to melt.
Yep.
And the room starts out at 20 degrees and you turn it up to 21, nothing. Up to 22, nothing. 23, nothing. And you don't see any result, even though every single day you're turning up that temperature 1 degree. But once you get to 32 degrees, mm-hmm. which is the temperature at which ice melts, you go to 33, now you start to see some progress. Now, the reason I love that story is that it was all of those movements from 20 to 32 that felt like they were worthless.
Right.
It was that last one.
Yeah.
That got us over the hump.
It's the compounding of starting from 20 to getting to 32. We think it might just be going from 31 to 32, but it's really all the things that you were doing before that, the incremental temperature change.
And when you're in that 25 degree room, you're not seeing your progress yet.
Right.
Because it's compounding.
That's right.
In the book, they call that the Valley of Disappointment. Like you might start to get discouraged during that time because every day I'm doing what the book says. I'm turning the temperature up. It's ice. It's supposed to melt. It's getting warmer.
Trusting the process and ain't nothing happening.
But like how much in your life worked like that way?
Right.
Where you were putting in the effort and it just, the results just weren't there.
Yep.
And not quitting.
I feel like weight loss could be the same way because you could lose a pound or half a pound. But you don't really notice it until, well, depending on how much weight we're talking about, but you may not notice it physically. You may not feel it until you were down 10 pounds.
Yeah. And even like going back to this couple, that when I showed them their net worth, they were like, nah, that ain't right. We had to literally, like, I had to log into all the systems.
They didn't trust you. They were like, something's
off. No, wait, what?
Because they don't feel it.
Because they've been turning that knob up 1 degree or two and didn't even notice that the ice was melting.
Exactly.
Their wealth was growing. They had tripled.
Think about how it can work the other way. We talk about this when we talk about compounding and investing and saving versus paying for debt.
Yeah.
It could go the other way and you could not notice it. Incrementally, you're going backwards. You're spending 1% more. You're taking on 1% more debt. You don't feel it. You don't know what's happening because it's incremental. Mm-hmm. And then you look up one day and you're like, dang, I'm 50 grand in the hole.
Yeah,
our partner
this morning on the call talked about a woman that had $4 million a few years ago and now she's down to the six figures.
Wow.
And there's just a couple of—
How many years ago?
A few years ago.
Wow.
And it was, you know, career move here, family issue here, you know. Big high taste in real estate there.
What was I doing when we were talking about that? I'm just kidding.
Taking notes.
Y'all gonna renege that offer.
Other things covered in the book is comparing habits to goals. And I think for a lot of us, we're goal oriented.
Yes.
And we make goals for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I wanna be a millionaire.
They're not the same thing.
I wanna have a vacation home.
Mm-hmm.
And a home. I want to be a homeowner, period.
I want my money to grow.
And we focus on the goals, but we don't think about the habits it takes to get there. And often there's like fallacy in goals.
I worked with an advisor who used to say, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah.
Nor is it an action item.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is a verb. It can be a noun too.
A girl's name. It can be a girl's name.
It can be all of those things.
Yeah.
Many things can be true at the same time. But hope by itself is not a strategy.
And one of the fallacies of goals is just the idea that in sports, the winner and the loser had the same goal of winning the game.
Of course.
Like, winners and losers can have the same goal, but what's different, what determines if you're a winner or a loser, it's the habits. It's the things that you did on that field.
That's right.
Or the things you do every day.
That's right.
And sometimes, to be honest, like, getting to your goal but doing it the wrong way gives you some false confidence and makes you think that you're doing stuff right.
It could cost you time. It could cost you money. It could cost you opportunities.
Yeah.
It can still happen, but it's just not going to be the same as if you're disciplined about it and develop those disciplined habits.
Yeah. I might have become a millionaire from just buying a lottery ticket.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm good with my money.
Exactly.
And a lot of times lottery winners end up losing it all.
Speaking of the lottery, are you participate in this Powerball situation? We up to a bill.
You know what's funny? I literally feel like I got the same odds of winning whether I buy a ticket or not. Like, I feel like it's so...
You have the same odds of winning?
I feel
you
like
you can't win if you don't have a ticket.
I know, but statistically, that it's such an infinitesimal chance that I will win.
Yeah.
It feels like the same. Plus, to me, keep it a buck, like, I know I'm going to be very wealthy one day, and I would rather not win the lottery to do it.
Yeah, most people do this. I mean, there's a song, If I Had $1 Million. I don't know what to do with $1 billion.
Yeah.
I would probably live the same life for a while.
Yeah.
Because I would not want anyone to know.
Tell you what, if I had $1 billion, you would be very wealthy, okay?
Because I'd be mad at you'd be...
I'm just going to spread the love. I'm going to spread the wealth. Like, we going to... Yeah.
Well, you have to discuss that with
I had $1 billion...
With wifey first.
You would be 100,000 richer for sure. I'm joking. So other issues with goals is this yo-yo effect. Sometimes, like, imagine, like, my goal was to run a 5K. And so I'm dieting, I'm jogging every day, I'm working out. I hit my goal, and then I start slacking off right after. And I mess around and weigh more than I did before the 5K. Because the goal wasn't...
Wasn't the goal then.
The goal should be healthy living.
Right.
So sometimes these goals, they're the wrong goals to begin with, and we're not focusing on the habits.
Mm-hmm.
Other things talked about in this brilliant book is just how to create habits and also how to break them. Because there's certain things that are habitual. Like, one of the things that they looked at in the book was this study where they took some cats and they put these cats in a maze. And it was the same maze every time. And
cats are not mice.
It was cats.
Okay.
Odd.
Mm. Like, okay. Just saying.
Yeah. Mice are like, why are you picking the cats? Cats are like, why are you ain't picking the mouse? So they put these cats in these mazes, and like, trial and error is how they figured out, okay, you push this particular button, the door opens, and then I can get out and get some food. And the first time it takes the cats 5 minutes, and the next time 3 minutes, and then 1 minute. And then eventually they're doing it in like 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this idea that they've created a habit for the cat.
Mm-hmm.
It became almost automatic after a while. So the ways to create habits, and the thing that that the cat really wanted wasn't just to get out of the box. The cat wanted the treat that they would get when they got out the box.
Right.
So to create a habit, you need a cue.
Mm-hmm.
You need a craving, like that feeling, hey, I'm a cat and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You need...
I mean, the goal was clear, too. Yeah. Like you're saying, they really wanted what they could get to when they got out. The goal wasn't to get out. The goal was to get to whatever they were trying to get to.
So the book is just about, how do I create habits? Like, how do I create these cues? This craving. And we're going to go through this in more depth, but this response that I need to do, and then ultimately a reward for myself.
Because
you could also flip it on its head and create ways to break habits as well.
Oh, of course.
Other concepts in the book, changing your identity. I think this is a big one. There's a difference between the person that says, I'm a smoker and I'm looking to quit, versus the person, same exact person, but if they say, I don't smoke. Right? Like, imagine someone offers person A a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to quit. Nah, I don't want one.
Right.
Offer to the second one. Bro, I don't smoke.
Right.
Right? Like, which one do you think is going to have more willpower to say no? Because, like, a cigarette is like a chemical response.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so changing your identity sometimes is just a powerful way to break your habits. And then finally, it was environmental design, like this idea that, like, sometimes we got to change what's around us that to set us up in a better way to get successful. So, for example, if I am trying to get healthier in my diet, maybe I need to get rid of all the snacks in my cupboard and just have carrots and broccoli and, well, not in the cupboard, but you know what I'm saying.
Healthy foods.
Healthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
That's environmental design. I shared on the...
You got to set yourself up for success.
Yeah, I shared at the retreat. I've got a couple of bad habits, one of which is just scrolling social media mindlessly when I get overwhelmed or if I'm on a Zoom and I'm not the one talking, like, I guess I'm like kind of bored.
Listeners, and I take nothing away from anyone with a clinical diagnosis and needs medication, but most really good financial advisors, I think we all have some attention deficit challenges.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from. It's like, hey, I'm not talking, so I got to do something else.
That's why you don't know what happened to the $4
million
lady.
That's why I don't know what happened
to,
I'm like, where was I in that conversation? No, but it's you're easily distracted.
Yeah.
Even for good. You can be easily distracted for good, but you've got to figure out how to focus when you need to.
Speaking of focus when we need to. So we'll go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of these stats around habits, and then we'll get into some advice on how you can create some good ones in your financial life.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
So we're talking about Atomic Habits for Building Wealth. Trademarked book, by the way. Not our idea, but shouting out some good content out there.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, we had to have some steady, consistent, good habits to even be successful at what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I try to share with newer advisors that there are just some things, some habits that you are going to have to do every single day if you're trying to grow. If you're trying to grow as an advisor.
That's a fact.
And I don't mean grow conceptually. I mean growing tangibly. And you have to have, you have to manage your pipeline. You have to constantly be thinking about the next impactful thing that's going to get you to the end goal.
Yeah.
And you have to do it every day, all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes four or five different things every day you have to do it.
And sometimes you will mess up, but like.
Oh, for sure. You're going to.
Try.
Yeah, you have to try. Sure. Yes.
Yeah, and what's interesting thing about this book, the reason why he came up with this concept is that when he was in high school, the author, he was a baseball player, and he got hit by a pitch in his face, and it broke a bunch of bones in his face. He had to be put in a medically induced coma and like relearn how to do a bunch of stuff. And a lot of folks thought, you know, this guy would be lucky to have a regular job one day. Mm. He ended up being like doing really well in college as an athlete and as a student.
Yep.
And the way he did it wasn't by saying, hey, I want to be a great athlete. Like, he literally had to learn little things like, let me work on getting my room clean first.
Yeah. It's an incredible story.
And then let me work on, once I get the room down, then let me work on just studying for 15 minutes every day. and then increase that to 30 minutes.
Atomic Habits, the movie.
But it's real. Mm-hmm. So let's speak about habits. So 72% of Americans have at least one bad habit. Mm. And most of these habits are like non-financial things, but it's stuff like smoking, not working out, excessive drinking,
obesity. What's the number one bad habit?
Number one is sleep, not getting enough sleep.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Guilty?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. For me with sleep, though, I just can't sleep sometimes. It's not like I'm not going to bed on time or I'm waking up too early. Sometimes I just like literally just insomnia hits me. But yeah, sleeping. Did you sleep well last night?
Yes.
Good.
I had to think about it. Like the days, we're in a stretch where the days feel like they're running together.
Yeah. And then on the financial side, we've been reading a bunch of surveys and studies to see the financial habits that people have that they're willing to admit they have.
That's right. So wasteful and unplanned spending rises to the top. 38% of folks eat out frequently. It's the most common wallet drain. Mm-hmm. And we know that. We know you save money if you make food at home.
I would add to the list ordering delivery.
Absolutely. Those delivery fees are insane.
It could double it easily. Like,
I can't even do it sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't feel like going anywhere, but I'm not paying $25 for $10 worth of food.
Yeah.
Just not going to do it. The next one under that category would be impulse buys, online shopping. Mm. They call you. They set up, the algorithms are set up for you to fail.
Yeah.
Right? They show you the last thing you looked at. They tell you how many people have it in their shopping cart, how many people looked at it.
And they're ear hustling you.
And they're ear hustling you.
Wait, did you mention canoe? Look
right.
Look at this great deal on a canoe.
Exactly. You could be on a website or in an app. Next thing you know, you're getting a text message. Mm-hmm. Come back. Did you forget something?
Yeah.
It's like they're talking to you.
Yeah.
It's scary. Yeah. I've been a victim. Mismanaging credit, using credit cards as, you know, just to subsidize your lifestyle. It's just like, gotta have it. I'm not thinking about it. Again, if you're not disciplined, you just buy it. You don't really think about the financial impact.
Yeah, I spoke to a potential client today who said that she will sometimes max out the card, pay it off. They raise the limit. She maxes it out again. Like it's like an up and down type of thing.
Yeah. About 23% of Americans report not paying down their high interest debt fast enough.
Yeah.
That says 23% report. We know there's a whole boatload of people who are not reporting on that. Not saving. 28% of Americans save nothing. Mm. And right after that, at 27%, save less money than they potentially could. Mm-hmm. So half the population is either not saving at all or not saving enough.
Yeah.
More than half.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Subscriptions. I know about this all too well because the first thing I do when I feel like my spending is getting out of control, I go look at the automatic things that I'm paying for that hit the credit card and I start going, where are we duplicating? I don't even use this. Why has this gone up? I have no idea why my home security system charges have gone from $32 a month to $72 a month.
You know, the one upside of fraud when they not doing it, when it happens to you, it's like you got to get a new debit card. Like some of these subscriptions just go away. Like you start getting emails like, hey,
oh yeah,
you got to update your thing. I'm like, oh, I had a subscription to that.
Yeah. So I don't use my debit card for subscriptions.
What do you use?
A credit card.
Yeah. Well, then same thing. I don't really use credit cards anymore. So credit cards, same thing. If you were fortunate to have fraud and you get a new credit card, some stuff drops off.
Some stuff, but certain subscriptions, they'll just be like, somehow or another, they know it's the same account with a different number and they just keep going. I don't know how that works, but.
Well, when I was in the gym industry, when I owned gyms, we tried to get people to sign up with their bank account instead of their debit card for that reason. Because you might change your debit card. You ain't changing your bank account that often.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I just do it for security reasons. Because that's my money. Like, I can't get that back if there's some fraud necessarily. You can, but.
I got you.
Anyway, we had that conversation before. Why don't we talk about bad financial habits by age? Because.
Since you're older.
We're in two different age brackets,
Since you're older, why don't you go first?
Fine. I'm not in any of these categories. I'm a unicorn. So okay. None of these apply to me.
Okay.
I'm not putting myself in a box.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not going through this. I'm not doing this. No, I'm kidding. So we have impulse regret. So over half of millennials and Gen Zers report frequent buyer's remorse. So I don't think that's a generational thing, though. I think everybody's capable of having some buyer's remorse. No. This is what these statistics say. Yeah. So we'll go with the stats.
I got a situation. This is not a habit thing, but like.
Okay.
So I bought tickets to go see Slick Rick, and I bought it from some obscure website. The tickets never showed up. I get there. I'm like, hey, here's what I bought. Dude's like, I can't help you. So I had to buy the ticket again.
Slick Rick ain't even here tonight.
And then I look at my phone. Slick Rick was dope, by the way.
Okay.
Slick Rick is 60 years old, still crazy. Performing. Yeah. Voice sounds exactly the same.
He's slick.
Jewelry even bigger somehow.
Yeah. Still rocking a Kango?
No Kango. Ball head. But not moving 1 inch on the stage.
Oh.
Standing perfectly still, spitting bars.
Storyteller.
So, all right. I didn't know that the funny website like that I bought the tickets from, they had texted me the tickets. Like, I showed up.
So it was legit.
So now it's like, all right, I've paid twice.
Yeah. Not getting your money back.
Like, do I?
That's not fraud.
I know it's not fraud, but like, should I dispute it? Like, it was a black company that did the website that texted me the tickets. But it was very informal. It was like, hey, bro, here you go. I'm expecting like an email, like either way. So I'm debating like.
Your disorganization is not going to be refunded.
So I bought the tickets at 12. The doors open at 7. They texted me the tickets at 7:05.
Oh.
I got there at 8, but I just didn't think to look at my time. Either way.
You can look into it, but how much of your time
are
you going to spend following up on that?
Yeah.
Like if it's an easy 5 minutes, you give it a shot. But after that, you can make more money.
Yeah.
But focusing on a good habit.
It was a good concert. So my regret was like having to overpay.
Was it just Slick Rick or was anybody else there?
And a bunch of DJs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional spending's another one. People get bored and start spending
money. Sorry. Was this during your single parent? Face?
No.
You fit in a concert?
No. She came home next night.
Oh my
I met Slick Rick.
I think
solo.
That might be worse.
Hey, young world, the world is yours.
Just curious, because it did sound very recent.
Enough. That's Slick Rick right there. That wasn't me telling you enough. That was me about to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Spending limits. Baby boomers are out here capping out their impulse buys at $50 a month. They're the only ones doing that. Everyone else is doing
a
lot more.
Millennials, about 60% of them spend $100 or more.
On impulse.
Well, because they probably think they got time to make up for it. Yeah. Baby boomers are out here like, yeah.
Yeah.
My time horizon is a little different.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cap that.
Absolutely. So let's get into the book a little bit. We'll go through some specific lessons from the book, and then we'll get into some financial applications that we've thought of ourselves. So first is the habit loop. So the habit loop we talked about earlier, there was the cats looking for the treat, right? They remember that they can get some food if they get out of this box. They remember which button to push, where to go. So here goes a bad habit loop that is literally me. So step one is the cue. So I hit a stumbling block at work. I get bored. I get frustrated. I then have a crave to relieve the frustration, which then leads to my response is that I pull out my phone, I start checking social media, and then the reward is like I get that dopamine blast from social media.
But you're still stuck.
But it's a bad habit. And like me being frustrated at work, like if I do more of this, I feel better in the moment, but my days get wasted.
Yeah.
I've wasted like many, many hours in days scrolling social media. And it's like become an instinct. Like every time I like get on a Zoom and I'm not the one talking, I'm grabbing my phone.
Yeah.
Like if that's all I'm ever doing, that ain't good.
It's not good. It reminds me of, I would say one of my habit loops is when I'm feeling stuck or frustrated, if I end up talking to somebody about it, all I'm doing is reliving it.
Yeah.
I'm not making it better. I'm not making progress. I might feel better because I feel like I've been heard and somebody understands me, but I haven't made any progress.
Yeah.
It's a habit loop that I'm a bad habit loop that I'm keenly aware of. And sometimes I have learned how to actively stop myself and pull myself out of that loop. Cause I'm like, I'm not changing the situation by talking about it.
Yeah. So another way to deal with this is to just create some new intentions. Like when this happens, I will do that instead, right? And then you could have combos. Like if this happens, I will do this. And then after that, I will do that. So I'll give you an example. Okay. Imagine me as a single mom again for a moment, although I am in my soft girl era at the moment. But, you know, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
After I put the kids to bed, I will read one chapter of my textbook. After I read one chapter, I will watch my favorite show. Right? So like, I gotta put the kids to bed. After that, I'll do the thing that I need to do. And then after that, I'll give myself a reward. Like it's like little tips and tricks and things that you can do to incentivize yourself. Like right now I'm listening to Autobiography of Malcolm X. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Two books at the same time. Impressive.
So like one thing I'm doing is I'm saying, well, if I do X, Y, and Z, then I get to reward myself by listening to some Malcolm X.
Yeah. Again, it comes down to compounding and like one good habit leads to another. Similarly, I have this thing where I know I need to drink more water, but I also love having my cup of coffee in the morning, just one. But I'm at a point now where I know that if I drink a certain amount of water first thing in the morning, I have a better chance of hitting my water intake goal for the day.
Yeah.
So now I reward myself for drinking water by having my cup of coffee.
There you go. That's good.
16 ounces of water before I even turn the coffee maker on.
You got to deserve it, the coffee.
Like, yeah.
You
got to earn it. I got to work for it. Mm-hmm. And there's some days where I don't follow that, but for the most part, that I follow that.
Yeah.
Some days I end up not even having the coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about habits is that once they're formed, just like you form the bad one, like my bad one is to start scrolling social media.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to forget that it's there. Like it's also the thing about habits is that like self-control is not usually good enough. Like it's short term, like it might work for a little bit, but it might not work for the long run.
What do you think about this concept of it takes 21 days for something to truly become a habit?
I think that's probably true.
Yeah. 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And I think you probably don't even notice that it's happening. It's the crazy thing.
Probably after 3 weeks, you don't.
Yeah.
Like it's subconscious. You just do it without even thinking about it.
Yeah. Are there any bad habits that you have that you're trying to break besides the coffee, water situation?
I think it's more about right now trying to incorporate good habits than it is trying to break bad ones.
Yeah.
Trying to think.
Okay.
There are certain, like when I work at home, lately I've been working in silence.
Yeah.
Because I can be distracted, even though if the TV is on, it's kind of background noise anyway. I'm not like sitting and watching a show. But even if I have, you know, Bloomberg or CNBC on, I could easily get pulled into the story or the headline.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'm just better off either working in silence or some soft music.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a bad habit, but I feel like it could be a better practice to... If I'm going to have the TV on, I'm muting. So then I'm not as easily distracted.
Yeah.
I have to consciously look at the ticker tape or whatever, or a headline to see what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So none. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. So another concept in the book is to make it easy, right? So let's say my goal is to earn a PhD. I could have the goal of, I could say that, look, I need to first get straight A's. Or I could say, my first step is really to just take notes in class.
Yeah, I mean.
Second step is to read the notes.
Yeah.
Maybe I start by reading the notes for 10 minutes. I'll tell you, like a year ago, actually earlier at the beginning of this year, I started the year by a pledge of working out at least 15 minutes every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I got great results off of that.
Yeah. Similarly, around that same time, I was doing a clean eating. I was on a clean eating journey, but I had to make it easy. I had to buy the ingredients and I had to meal prep. And as long as I had done the meal prep, I was able to maintain that clean eating situation far beyond the 2 to 3 weeks that I initially started. And I saw the results. Now, over time, I got out of those good habits. And so it's probably way past time to start them again. But the fact that it was made easy by meal prepping, which helped me sustain it far past the intended time.
You know, when I think about me for this challenge I did in January, the reason why it didn't stick though, because I didn't really change who I am. Like I just said, I want to
change your identity.
Yeah, I just want to work out every day for 15 minutes. And it was good.
Yeah.
I got good results. But then once the 30 days was up, I was like, all right, good. Sit my butt down now.
Yeah, for me, well, there were a couple of things that were not really fully in my control that didn't allow me to prep.
Yeah.
So once I fell out of the prep, it was harder to maintain that. So it wasn't as easy anymore.
But you're speaking to environmental design. Like you've got to create an environment where it's more likely that you're going to do what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Things like deleting apps off your phone, for example. Or in your case, putting the coffee on the top shelf.
Yeah, I couldn't make the bad habit. You got to make the good habits easy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You got to make the bad habits invisible.
Yeah. So a couple other examples. So I want to be an early riser. Like I want to be that type of person that gets the most out of every day. So my first goal might just be to make sure my butt is home by 10 o'clock every night. The second goal might be I need to have my devices turned off by 10 o'clock every night. The third phase might be let me make sure I'm at least in the bed by 10. The next phase may be I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. now. And then the final phase is I'm going to go to bed and turn the lights off and have my phone away from me by 10 every night. But it started with baby steps. I just get my butt home on time.
Yeah, you can't go to bed early if you're not home.
Yeah.
You and can't wake up early if you don't set an alarm or, you know.
And also you can't just wake up at 6, but you went to bed at 1. Like you could, but it's not good for you.
So what's early? 6 is early.
Well,
that's your goal.
I'm saying in this example where I want to be an early riser, it could have been 4 a.m. Okay. Sure, fine. Fun police.
I'm just asking. I was just asking a question.
So baby steps that get you towards your goal, but also changing who you are. And then when in doubt, ask yourself, would a person who is this person do that thing? Like this week, like my daughter needed help with something. And I said to myself, this is my new who I am. Like
I'm a good dad.
I'm a great financial advisor. Not in this order, but I'm a great financial advisor. I'm a wonderful dad. And I'm very efficient. And my daughter texted me like, hey dad, you're supposed to read my essay. So I dropped work. I read my daughter's essay. I called her. I walked her through my feedback. And I felt really good about that because
single
it was—
single parent phase?
No, I'm now back in my soft girl situation.
No, I meant when this happened.
No, it was today. So
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much less stress when I'm running around. But no, I'm just saying
just
like—
just so you know.
It's very gratifying when you're doing things that are part of that identity.
Yes.
That you are. Not that I'm trying to be, but that you are.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go to break. When we come back, let's talk more finance stuff. Let's walk through some frameworks for breaking and building good financial habits.
Let's do it. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
So, we've been talking about this book, Atomic Habits, and we're talking today about how to apply those habits to building wealth. And so, let's start with a scenario. Imagine that your goal is to buy a house or a vacation home, and you have this bad habit of ordering carryout and delivery all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You got points on Uber Eats and DoorDash, and what's another one? Grubhub. You're doing all the things, but you know for a fact that you're a homeowner and this habit is keeping you back from your goal. So the first law would be to make it invisible. So remove the queue.
Remove the queue.
Yeah. So that means like, yo, delete the apps from your phone. Like make it harder. So if you really want it, you got to like go on your computer.
You got to work a little harder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on your home screen anymore, so you might have to flick a couple times. You might get frustrated and say, I'll just starve.
Right.
So step one is to make it invisible.
Yep.
So the next step is to reframe your mindset.
Right. And so one of the ways you do that, you're really responding to the action of making it unattractive. Do the math. Calculate how much of the house that you are planning to buy, how much of that you're eating every time you order.
Like eating the actual house.
Like you're eating the actual house.
I love that.
Yeah. So, for example, if you spend $400 a month on delivery, that's $4,800 a year. That might be enough for closing costs.
Word.
If not for all of it, you could put a nice dent in it.
Mm-hmm.
And remind yourself, you know what? Ordering this pizza, ordering this food, it's going to push out my move-in date by a week.
Or it could cancel my whole closing. For real.
Or that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't lie. I think about that sometimes with longevity. Like, I'm going to eat this porterhouse, but I might be cutting my lifespan by a week.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do I want it that bad?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, YOLO. But yeah. Other times it's like, you know what? I had a steak last week. I'm going to chill today.
Yeah.
Just saying. There's also making it difficult. Increase the friction. Make it harder. Well, I mean, I guess in a way this is similar to some of the other steps, but like unsave the credit cards. We know that if we're shopping online, we've saved the credit card number. So it's just really easy to keep going. If you delete your saved credit card info from the site, then you have to force yourself to actually get up, go find your wallet, type in the numbers. It might be just enough friction to stop you from making that impulse purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then there's people like me. Who remember numbers. I legit memorized my American Express credit card number. Because when I shop online, that's what I use. It's just, we're not promoted or sponsored by American Express, but I just, you know, it's doing full. So you can only get yourself into so much trouble. But I had the number memorized, the CVV number. There wasn't too much that would stop me from an impulse purchase. But,
yeah, but at least it's, even that though is a step.
It is a step.
Like it's an extra step to have to type in all those numbers.
Yes, exactly. So versus having it saved where you don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, you're creating friction. You're making it harder to do it.
Yep.
Like I know for me back in the day, I know we're talking about saving for a house, but like I had to put my savings, I know we're talking about saving for a house. So back in the day when I was saving to buy my first house, direct deposit went one place for the house money and one place for my spending. And
yeah.
I specifically picked an account that I didn't have a debit card for.
Yes.
That had a branch in another town just to make it harder for me to access the money.
Yeah. Most people, advisors, financial coaches, budget coaches will tell you to have your savings, especially if it's for a specific goal, have it ever had an altogether different financial institution than the account where, that you use to pay your bills or yeah. pay for your regular expenses. Because then you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you gotta do something or a couple of somethings to access it.
Yeah.
And get it in a spendable form.
Yeah.
I believe in that.
And then the final step could be a penalty tax. If you order Grubhub, Uber Eats, whatever, maybe you gotta give your partner $10 every time. As you know,
yeah,
accountability.
I mean,
like,
it's compounding the other way. I would be like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
I mean, another one could be, I gotta send a text message to my accountability partner saying, hey, I just ordered Uber Eats.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you tell that person every time I do it, then you tell me something back like, yo, you said you weren't gonna do this no more. Like one thing that we do at work, for example, like with the staff, like yo, if you're late, send a text message, right? And this is for our support staff. And sometimes it's embarrassing to constantly be like, you know, there's traffic, I'm running late.
Mm-hmm.
But like, then that means get to work on time. That means
you
like
didn't leave early enough.
Factor in the fact that there's going to be some stuff and it's a little bit of a penalty to have to send that text message because you feel embarrassed.
Right.
So maybe add an embarrassment tax. That you got to tell your accountability partner that you ordered that Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another tax we did for one of our employees who comes to work late a lot. I was like, look, whatever time you missed from being late during the week, we'll just tack it on to Friday afternoon.
Mm.
Yo.
Right.
It
yeah.
curbed it a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
Because the person was like, well.
That reduces your lunch or whatever.
Yeah, not something lunch. Else. No, take
that
your
didn't
lunch.
Bother them.
Take your, yeah, right. lunch didn't bother
Friday
them.
Friday afternoon, though.
Yeah. yeah. Add it on Friday afternoon? Yeah. So you mean if I'm 20 minutes late, then I got to work 20 minutes later on Friday?
Yeah. That hits different.
yeah. Make it unsatisfying.
Friday tax.
So next, let's talk about, again, the goal is to, let's say, buy a house or whatever the financial goal that you might have will be a way of some baby steps towards like making sure that you're at least reviewing your bank accounts every week.
Mm-hmm.
So a weekly financial audit is the good habit you're trying to create. And so you might start with like habit stacking. Like Dre, you talked about this earlier. I got to drink my water first and then I get to get my coffee. So if your goal is to review your finances more often, you say every Sunday morning, after I pour my coffee, which is a habit I have every week, that's my cue. I'm doing it anyway. I will sit down at my desk and I'll review my budget spreadsheet or I'll review my whatever app I use to track my spending.
I like it.
Next, in terms of making it attractive, you might design your environment in a way to just make it more likely that you will want to do it. So again, we said you're going to drink your morning coffee. So you'll sit at your desk and review your budget. So maybe that desk, you know, you make it sexy. You make, you know, clean off the desk, get a candle there, get your music queued up so that when you're going through your audit, you're feeling relaxed. You're feeling lovely.
Hey.
The next step on making it easy, 2-minute rule. When you're doing this financial review, this 15-minute financial review, you're not trying to go back and do the whole entire year. You're just opening up your app, whatever it is you're looking at, and just looking at the last 7 days. Because if you could do this every Sunday,
right,
and you look backwards the last 7 days, in a year's time, you've looked at the entire year.
That's right.
And you're doing it 15 minutes a week.
1 week at a time.
1 week at a time. And tell yourself, look, your goal is not to go penny for penny. It's just to like review it and then reflect on like, what could I have done differently in that week? So finally, what's the reward? So if you complete this review every week, then you get a chance to do something that you want to do to reward yourself. So maybe then you'll watch that episode of that show that you wanted to binge, mm-hmm. or maybe you get to binge it for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the Autobiography of Malcolm X. For somebody else, it's the Diddy documentary. I don't know.
You're doing entirely too much.
So other good examples of ways to use this book, because we're running out of time. So imagine creating, you know, a little chart on your desk and your goals to pay off your credit card debt. And every time, you know, how like when they're doing like one of those building fundraisers, they got the little temperature gauge.
Oh, and, yeah. And you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make a little thing where you're, you know, marking it off that you paid off something.
So going back for a second to rewards.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading about someone who was on a healthy eating journey or a weight loss journey or maybe both. And they would reward themselves once a week if they kept to their eating goals or their, you know, other physical goals. They would actually reward themselves with an ice cream sundae. Now, that might seem counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, you know, you don't need to go in all or nothing. You need to have something to, like, keep you going.
Yeah.
So it might sound like it wouldn't work, but if you deprive yourself of everything.
Yeah, it's true.
You could, like, lose interest and lose some momentum, no pun intended. And so I thought that was interesting that they hit their weight loss goals by rewarding themselves with an ice cream sundae.
Listen,
if they stayed on track for the week.
That ice cream is probably not enough to undo all the good work they did all week. So
correct.
Because
of
sense.
The compounding effect of all the good habits.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Going back to the earlier example of the person that wants to stop shopping on Uber Eats so much, instead of paying that tax to your friend, what if you have a fund?
Yes.
You put the money into your account you're going to use for entertainment.
Yep.
For gifts to yourself.
Yeah.
It's a tax, but it's a reward.
Someone calls it guilt-free spending. But yeah, if you set it up as a reward
Every time
for making good financial decisions,
Cook dinner at home, so you give yourself $5 over there.
That's it.
That's double win because you saved the money, you ate healthier.
Yeah.
Right?
I like it.
Think about a wealthy identity framework. Again, even if you don't know exactly what to do, would a wealthy person do this? And newsflash, like, wealthy people ain't out here spending like crazy, like drug dealers. Like, we did a show about that a couple weeks ago.
We did. Affirmations, whatever it takes. Like, we all have our own little quirky things, and maybe they're not so quirky, that will put us in the right mindset, but we have to believe that we are or are becoming what we want to be.
Yeah.
Some of us have to speak it, some of us have to see it, some of us have to feel it, but.
Yeah. Because if you just have the goal of, I want to save money, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the person that saves and doesn't save, they have the same exact goal. But if you have the identity that I'm the type of person who has a positive net worth, I buy assets and not liabilities, I plan for my future versus spending it all today, I'm an investor. Like, if you're saying these things out loud,
I'm an investor.
Then you got to act like it.
Yep. I'm an investor. I like that one.
And every time you do something like, invest $50 instead of spending $50. You're casting a vote towards your new identity. And going back to the things we talked about earlier, like, you're not going to see the results overnight. Like, you're going to be in that valley of disappointment for a while. But like, after a while, you might look up, like our clients we talked about earlier, and your wealth is tripled. Your investment account is tripled. So bottom line, on your wealth journey, you want to create systems, because people are more likely to fall to the level of their systems versus rising to the level of their goals.
Yes.
Because it is the habits, it is the systems that are going to make you successful. So whatever goals you have, like, just break them down into smaller goals. Save $10 a day. Increase your 401k percentage, your contribution percentage, by 2% this year.
Incrementally. Just did that with a client.
Stop using credit cards.
Mm.
Pay down your... Double your minimum payment to your credit cards.
Yes. And don't keep adding to it, spending part.
Start with saving enough to cover your expenses for 2 weeks. Half your mortgage, half your rent.
Right, yeah.
Open up that brokerage account, like, fill out the paperwork. Start with $25 a week.
That's right.
A month.
It makes a difference.
Cancel some subscriptions. Cancel one this month.
Lord.
Cancel another one next month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the small steps. It's the baby steps. And you just got to trust that over time, your good actions, your good habits are going to compound, and you will get to your goal of being wealthy.
That's right.
So hopefully you enjoyed this discussion of Atomic Habits for Building Wealth Today. If you want to spend more time with us, feel free to visit our website, momentum-advisors.com. We actually just redid our contact page.
Yeah.
So you can schedule time directly with Andrea only. And I will tell you, a lot of people have been bypassing your boy recently.
Stop it.
Now that they can.
Stop
I'm like, why my calendar so light and yours is so flush?
I built in Atomic Habits.
Yo, it's the law of attraction. they feeling you out here.
That's
so
good.
If you want to talk about your investments, your financial plan, anytime, reach out to us at momentum-advisors.com/contact. And you can schedule time with Andrea or myself.
Or both of us.
Not on the website, but sure. We might both show up. There's not a double button. It's me or you.
Oh.
Choose wisely.
I didn't
Me or you or our other advisor. We have.
Yeah, we have five advisors. Six. How many of us?
Six whole advisors out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So keep listening. We'll be back next week.
That's right. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.